So this morning there'll be four readings from the book of Proverbs and then a reading from John. The references are on the screen there if you want to try and keep up to where we're flipping through. So the first one is Proverbs chapter 17, starting at verse 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. And then Proverbs chapter 17, verse 6. Children's children are a crown to the aged, and parents are the pride of their children. And then Proverbs 27, verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And then Proverbs chapter 14, verses 20 and 21. The poor are shunned even by their neighbours, but the rich have many friends. It is a sin to despise one's neighbour, but blessed is the one who is kind to the needy. And then in John, the book of John, chapter 15, verses 12 and 14. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command.
You've heard the saying, for our canine friends, dogs are a man's best friend. But what happens when it's a pig? Let me explain. In the height of the COVID lockdown that was taking place across the world, a girl in Argentina turned 15. But unable to celebrate with her friends and now stuck inside, her parents got very creative and bought her a pig. Now, before you start reflecting on what sort of parent they are, my wife and I, we have a daughter who's turning 15 next year. Let me tell you how this teenage girl thought of Porky the pig. I don't know what its name was. This is what Lucy Beniti says of a 15th birthday present. It just wouldn't be me without my pig. The pig is known to sleep beside her bed, greet her with a squeal of delight as she arrives back home following the loosening of restrictions in South America. Can little pigs be the answer to the pandemic of loneliness that is sweeping through our Western culture? Or do we need to head to the ancient wisdom of Proverbs to find clues on how to be a true friend when all the cards are down? Or when little piggy friend ends up as Christmas roast because it's outgrown the family backyard in South America? Let's pursue true friendship as recorded in God's Word, the Bible. Begin our search in the book of Proverbs. But firstly, let me introduce myself. Secondly, let me offer you a suggestion. And then we're going to pray before we plunge into God's Word. Good morning. My name is Stu. I'm the lead pastor here at Southern Cross. It's brilliant to be able to be here to open up God's Word with you this morning. Who's been loving the Proverbs series? Me. When I returned from long service leave, first talk writing back was on work. I just thought, oh my goodness, what have we done? I'm going to offend every human in the room. It's been great hearing the wisdom of God through this ancient literature and seeing the beauty of the gospel story. Today we're talking about the topic of friendship, and some of the best writing I've read around Christian friendship and community is from same-sex attracted pastors. It shouldn't be a huge surprise, because if the church fails to be the church, and if church is something, like in the West, church is something you go to, these believing brothers and sisters are some of the most exposed and vulnerable parties to the dangers of loneliness that is attacking Western culture. So can I encourage you to consider reading this book by one of our same-sex attracted brothers? His name is Vaughan Roberts. He's a pastor from the United Kingdom. It's true, it's little. I checked this morning. It's got 90 pages. But boy, it packs a punch. I don't know how he does it, how he can distill such wisdom into so few words. I reread chapter 1 yesterday, and it's fabulously clear. So if you email office@scpc.org.au, we can send you a sample of the book, which provides you with chapter 1. Just a tip, if you kind of find a book's publisher and go to their website, there'll be a download free sample. Anyway, I downloaded it as a PDF. We'll provide that to you if you're interested. There's also four copies in the library at SCPC, which is located in the office in Park Avenue here in East Lismore. Let's pray as we begin our journey on friendship. Our Father, we do want to thank you that you didn't just make the world and step out away from us, your creatures, but in your deep grace you pursued us. And as we come to think of friendship, please help us to be open and alert to your word, that we might have the resources to be wise friends. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Proverbs is just chock full of brilliant wisdom on how to be a true friend when we need our friends the most. Let me read you some of these cracker lines that David read for us as well this morning. This is Proverbs 17 and verse 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. Proverbs 18, verse 24. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. They're fantastic, aren't they? Friends love at all times. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother or a sister. And as you read these proverbs, there's more. You quickly get the sense when the Bible understands friendship, it has a very different picture to what social media calls friend. And that might be a breath of relief for some of us. But I think in our minds, if we could conceive what the perfect friend would be, Proverbs actually matches it. It goes surprisingly close to how it understands friendship. For listen to how the Proverbs takes us a little deeper to unlock how friendship doesn't always just mean agreeing with a friend or affirming everything your friend thinks is wise, because there will always be differences of opinion. But what Proverbs does show us is how we can sensibly enter that territory with a true friend. So have a listen to a few more Proverbs. This is Proverbs 27 and verse 6. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Proverbs 27 verse 9, perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. Now, even if you've never heard of the book of Proverbs, you've probably heard of this saying. This is Proverbs 27 verse 17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Friends are there for you when you stuff up or when you think you have a plan. Do you love this, when you have a plan and then your friends gently and warmly encourage you to reevaluate? It's beautiful, isn't it? That's a true friend. And yet, why are friends so painfully and mysteriously hard to find? Listen to Proverbs 16, verse 28. A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. Or 14:20 to verse 21. The poor are shunned even by their neighbours, but the rich have many friends. It's a sin to despise one's neighbour, but blessed is the one who is kind to the needy. I don't know what you thought of those, or what you think about Proverbs 14:20 when it said the rich have many friends. Does Proverbs mean you can buy your friends? Or this one from Proverbs 16:28, are we to blame by gossiping behind people's backs? It's tricky trying to determine it, isn't it? Why is there a drought on friends in the West? I want to take us very briefly to a forecast I've revealed to some leaders at Southern Cross Presbyterian Church on why storms can form in our relationship with others. Comes from this book that was written about a year ago by an Australian-based psychologist called Jonathan Andrews, and it's called The Reconnected Heart, How Relationships Can Heal You. This is what Jonathan has to say. The non-negotiable need to give and receive good connection in relationships and friendships demands to be met. If, though, we decide to leave God out of the picture, we need to be aware there are really only two options left. Either we can depend on someone else to help us, or we depend on ourselves to find trust, self-esteem, honour, and belonging. We'll either have to outsource it to others, or we have to do it in-house. And here comes the penetrating forecast. Thunderclouds appear on the horizon when we rely on others to deliver what our hearts desire. If we depend on someone else, we will become sensitive to what they do or don't do for us. We become brittle and easily upset. When others sense that, they start to become cautious, trying not to step out of line for fear of upsetting us. Spontaneity goes, fun suffers. Freedom becomes restricted by the weight of our quiet coercion. Our offense is never far away. Our distress becomes externalized. They made me upset. We forget they aren't deliberately offensive, and we forget we are the ones that take offense. It's a chilling analysis. It's frightening. It's painfully perceptive. Later, he'll describe how we strangle relationships. It's almost too much to bear. It's too uncomfortable. It's too excruciating to read. Could our lack of friends be due to our idealistic expectations we have for them? Do we even poison those we're in community with by the silent expectations that we put on them, even for our gospel community as it seeks to care for us? Was the German pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer right when he said, "Those who dream of Christian community more than they love the Christian community itself become destroyers of that Christian community, even though their personal intentions may be ever so honest, earnest, and sacrificial." It's scary, isn't it? So is there a solution to the strain that we put on relationships and friendships? Yes. The answer is found in Jesus, the friend of sinners. I want to draw together this biblical reflection on friendship by having us read John 4, 7 to 26. And I'm going to invite David to come up and read that now.
All right, so that was John chapter 4, starting from verse 7 down to verse 26. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the water in the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I will give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said, is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, But you Jews claim the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he.
This woman discovered that neither she or the relationships around her needed to be the ultimate solution. Because did you notice the stunning resignation she made? She confessed her own inability to complete the task of healing her heart, and also confessed she shouldn't rely on another person to do that also. She recognized it was ineffective and foolish. She could not be the architect of her psychological salvation. Pride floated from her life. She would follow, rather, the way of wisdom. Did you notice Jesus became the agent and the destination? Living water flowed into her heart. Do you know what she says later in John 4:39? I'm known. And the other cool thing is as well, you remember she leaves her water jar behind. She's got a drink. Jesus would now sit on the seat of her life, which she vacated, and also vacated by the men she tried to appoint there also. She wouldn't worship others. She wouldn't worship herself. She stopped grasping. She'd no longer be consumed by a need for others. She would serve others because she'd been filled up. Living water, satisfied, full, content. Can I ask you, have you been filled up by Jesus? Who votes dogs are our best friends? Oh, okay. No one. Confession time, hands up, cats. Oh, we got, I see a hand, I see one. Pets are a wonderful gift from God, are they not? Such valuable companions. And one reason, I suspect, is because they simply listen. They don't talk back. And yet, could I say you're missing out? Because safe, loving, considerate, compassionate friendships are perhaps one of the most beautiful gifts from God. I fondly remember one of my birthdays at a coastal location not far from here. It drew together people from many phases of my life, from high school, from university, Bible college, my neighbourhood and my church family. And yet, we equally know the deep grief when relationships are strained. Makes us feel anxious, nauseous, keeps us awake at night, and it puts within us a deep uneasiness. So Jesus is calling you. He will be your friend. But you might be surprised by this, even shocked. He does have one condition. Now, before you call me a heretic, do you want to hear it? He's repelled by self-righteousness. Jesus is offering you the best friendship in the world. He can be your BFF. Not if you know what that means. Go like that if you like. No, okay. He can be your best friend forever and the friend you wished you always had. Will Jesus be your friend, the friend of sinners? Talk to him about your shame. Talk to him about your weakness. Talk to him about your day. If you're willing to do that, there is no limit to the transformation that is possible through the Holy Spirit in our lives. It is at the point of our deepest guilt and regret that his friendship embraces us most assuredly and steadfastly. I'll let Dane Orthon, an American pastor and author of a new book, Deeper, summarise most delicately and skillfully and wonderfully. Jesus is the friend of sinners. And if you know yourself to be a sinner, let him befriend you more deeply than you ever have. Open up to him as you do to no other earthly friend. Let him love you as the friend of failures, the invincible ally of the weak. Jesus befriends us. I don't know about you, but isn't that the best thing you have ever heard? We're going to pray. We're going to talk to God. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for Christ, for providing us the best friend in the world when we've been simply the worst. We are sorry for the ways we manipulate those around us with our unrealistic expectations, our false humility, and our fractured self-esteem. Please carry us to Christ, the friend of sinners. Move us to drop the pretense and the mask and to come with him with all that we are. Then change us that we might mirror him, that even one day we might be counted by someone as a true friend.